Close enough?
Chair.
Okay. Good morning, Council, and welcome back. I'll call this meeting to order, and I would like to begin by acknowledging that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Are there any we have regrets for Mayor Bala Fergetson, and are there any announcements, acknowledgments, or recognitions? None. No public input. Approval of the agenda. Okay. Moved by Councillor Haysom, seconded by Councillor Oikle. All those in favor? Councillor Greig?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried unanimously. Approval of minutes from July 4th, 2023. What is your wish? Moved by Councillor Vino, seconded by Councillor DeLong. All those in favor? Councillor Greig?
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously. All right, so we are going to go right down to 10.1.1, Finance Department Operating Variance Report, first quarter to June 30th, 2023. And Elena.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you have before you the first quarter operating variance report, which gives you details of our operating budget accounts where variances to budget have occurred. Staff have commented on all forecasted budget variances. Because it's the first quarter, there's very little variance in our quarterly reporting for this quarter. So we're projecting an operating surplus of $34,100, which represents a $6,400 or 0.02% budget variance. The revenue variance shows $6,600 in additional revenue expected to be received compared to budget. That represents a co-op student grant received in excess of the amount we had budgeted. So that would be on page 2 of your agenda package. Moving through to the expenditure side, there's just one additional variance on the protective inspection services, which is essentially your building and REMO and things like that. Which shows a $200 variance more than budgeted, which was additional costs incurred for repairs of our Ford Escape, which we actually did trade in on a new Ford F-150 Lightning, so there will be no more repairs for that Escape. So it's, like I said, it's early in the fiscal year, and there's no other things to really talk about on this variance report unless someone has a question.
Any questions? Very agreeable group this morning. All right, 10.1.2, and that was for information only. Capital status of CCBF investment report, first quarter to June 30th, 2023. And that's you too, Elena.
Yes,
Director
thank
of Finance.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So the capital budget status and Canada Community Building Fund investment report is enclosed to give you information on the projects approved in the fiscal year and where we are with the status of those projects. They're moving forward as indicated on the attached status report. Included on this report, you see the approved budget, the actual costs incurred to date, cost variance on actual to budget, our forecast, and the forecast variance. Of the $9.4 million approved budget, project costs and the amount of $712,000 to the end of June had been paid as of that date, and we're forecasting about $9.6 million to be completed by year end. So we have all the directors here for every department. If there's any questions, I don't think I'll go through it word for word, but if there's any questions,
yeah,
we certainly could entertain them at this time.
Are there any questions? Councillor Oikle.
I just have a question, and I suppose it's not really regarding the numbers, but regarding that Dexter Construction was awarded to start the construction in fall of 2023 on the WWTP in New Germany, and I'm just wondering if that's going to be able to go ahead, considering the flooding and everything that has happened and their possible workload.
Yeah, Stephen. We have,
what's Stephen's last name?
Pace.
We have Stephen Pace coming up, Director of Engineering.
Yes, actually Dexter Construction awarded three of our tenders, and we've been in contact with them, and they are going to be able to commit to doing all three projects. In fact, the Osprey Connector Trail is just starting today, so that we understand that it will be starting.
And I also got a message from Sarah that I shared on social media that they're going to start doing some camera stuff this week from the sewer, yeah. Okay, thank you. Any more questions? Councillor DeLong.
I also have one that's not about the numbers, so if, okay, thank you. Could you speak more to the office reconfiguration? Who's being reconfigured?
Well, we're looking at a storage room that's down across from the staff room. There's a long storage room there, and the students had used it. We got all the files moved out of there, and they were all scanned. So it freed up that space now for office space for a number of more people. So we're looking at a converting of basically from a storage room to office space for a fairly open concept. I think it's been designated more for planning, planners. So we have to do HVAC upgrades, electrical, and turn from basically a storage room to office space.
So we do have enough space for everybody in our office then, is that?
I think pretty well every seat is full. That's why we're looking to, I think we're going to gain about another 5 or 6 office spaces by doing this conversion.
Okay. This was a line item in our budget.
Yeah.
Yep. Councillor Vino?
Looking at line item for the Mark Ball Fields, is that coming in under budget, and is there still work to be done after the fields close for the general use of the summer?
Yeah, the work's gone quite well there. They've done 3 applications of fertilizer, and they've done the grub treatments. And so we've reopened 2 of the fields now, and the 3rd field was closed for the whole season. And they're looking at resodding that this fall. So by next year, that one will be open too. So it's gone very well and under budget.
Okay, any more questions? All right. Now, that was for information only. Now we go down to 10.2.1, what we heard from public survey, food insecurity. And we have Aidan McEwen presenting. Enaby.
Hello, everyone. This is our What We Heard report on the local food security baseline assessment. The presentation was prepared by me, Aidan McEwen, the climate change intern for the summer. So here we have the table of contents, just showing what this presentation covers. We have what we did, summary of engagement, the research methodologies, the findings from the 2 surveys, a summary of the jurisdictional scan, and then some recommendations for future actions with this project. So what we did, we have 2 goals for this project in the future. One of them is increasing local food consumption to 20% by 2030, and the other is establishing food hubs and community gardens to increase local food production and consumption. A baseline assessment was completed to gain a deeper understanding of the local food system in MODL, and a jurisdictional scan of other municipalities and organizations' approach to local food security was also completed. And the image there is just showing what a food hub is. So it takes all of the products from local and regional producers, puts them into one area where local consumers and wholesale buyers can get all those. So if anybody ever has any questions, I'll just look around if you want to raise your hands.
If you have any questions, put your hand up and we'll stop and ask.
So here we have the summary of engagement. Our community engagement activities took place from July 18th to August 8th, and these activities included 2 surveys, one for residents and one for businesses, online and in person. There were three community pop-ups at Bob and the Boys Farm Market, Wow's Lake Farm Market, and the New Germany Community Cafe. At these pop-ups, we handed out surveys and had discussions with residents about the project, our future plans, and just that whole topic of local food security. We had two meetings with experts in the field of food security, one with the Nova Scotia Department of Health and one with the Nova Scotia Department of Agriculture, where we discussed future plans and possibilities for our local food security project. And an Engage modal webpage was also created with some information on the project. And the webpage received 559 visits, 267 contributions, which means that's how many people did the surveys. And it had an overall engagement rate of 42.1%.
Oh, we have a question from Councillor Hasten. Yep.
Thank you so much. Zero registrations. Can you expand on that?
So I think that's if... I know, like, for the NOMO May, there was where you can register and, like, sign the pledge. So that would have been, if we would have put somewhere to register for, like, a workshop or a future event, that would have been, that would have shown on the registrations. But since we only had the surveys on the engagement part of the website, there was nowhere to register. So, yeah. I think when it does the summary of the engagement, it just shows that, even if we didn't have any. So for research methodologies, we used many different types of sources and resources to do our jurisdictional scan to get a well-rounded exploration of this subject. We used municipal data, government agency data, academic studies, surveys, and NGO data, non-governmental organizations, I think. So going into our findings, we can start with the resident survey. So the survey had 15 questions, and the first 12 were local food-related questions. The last three were just personal information. And the survey questions can be divided into three sections. So section one is supply and demand, section two is barriers, and section three is support and consumption levels. This survey received 259 responses, 534 engaged modal site visits, and had an engagement rate of 43.7%.
Councillor Oikle.
Of the 259 responses, do you know the numbers that were from the businesses and the numbers that were from non-business?
So the business, this is for the resident survey. So there was 259 for the resident survey, and the business survey only had 8 responses. So we can go into section one. And question one asks, where do you currently buy fresh produce? The options were major supermarkets, local supermarkets, local bakeries, butchers, local farmers markets, directly from farmer, and personal farms and gardens. So this question, we already assumed that major and local supermarkets would be the most popular places to shop for food in MODL, but it's just nice to have a actual number value so we can compare in when we do, if we do a follow-up survey to see if we've made any improvement. So major and local supermarkets were leading the race. Over 50% selected either often or always shopping there. Local bakeries and butchers and farmers markets were very similar, with around a quarter selecting often and always. And then directly from farmers and personal farms and gardens were a little bit less than that, which is expected. So question two is similar to question one, but this focuses on specific food products popularity. The question asks, how often do you buy fresh produce? The options were meat, fish, vegetables, fruit, milk products, bread, eggs, honey and jam, and baked goods. So the majority of this food is either bought weekly or bi-weekly. And this question was to see what the demand of these food products are. And based on the responses, we can see that there is a high demand. But since there's this high demand, it can also be inferred that there is a supply of these products. So people are buying these products a lot. And they also have a way to buy these products. They have access to these products. So question three asks, what percentage of foods do you purchase from local producers? And the intention of this question was to see if this supply is being provided by local producers or non-local producers. And the responses show that the supply is not from local producers. around almost every food product listed is only bought 10% or less around half the time, except for one exception, which is eggs, which is almost 50% bought 100% of the time. And this question outlines a potential area of more research. We could look into the egg farming system in our region and see how that works and see if we can make a system similar to that for other food products.
I knew that one was coming. Okay. Councillor DeLong.
Yeah, I have thoughts on that, and if you'd rather that I shared them with you after your presentation, I'm happy to, given that I'm affiliated with the local egg producers.
Okay. Yes.
I can share them now, though.
Yeah, well. Go ahead. Sure.
All right. Give me a moment. So I don't know that we can really look to egg production as something that we can use as a model. It's based on one family and the relationships that they've built over 40 years and the amount of hours that they put into their day.
Yeah.
It is a good system that they have developed, absolutely, but it's not something that is easy to duplicate.
Yeah, definitely.
And I would say that they're also facing many challenges currently, one being local labor market. It's not something that you can just spool up and get, you know, you can't duplicate that elsewhere.
Yeah.
They're struggling to find local workers, same as everybody else. So I'll give you more insight after your presentation if you want.
Sure.
But that's
sounds good. Yeah.
Councillor Hazel.
Just further to the egg producers, wouldn't that maybe be representative of people with backyard chickens who are maybe just selling eggs or giving eggs to friends and neighbors? Could that be part of the reason why you're getting such a high response
there?
That
could definitely
be. Many people raise their own chickens and
their
own eggs.
Yeah, that would definitely be a possibility.
Yeah.
That might also affect like vegetables and fruit and stuff if people are growing them in their gardens. So, yeah, that's definitely a possibility why that's so high and why it's such an outlier in the survey.
Okay, continue, Aiden.
So we have a summary of Section 1. So we have our major and local supermarkets are the two most popular places to shop for food. Our specialty stores and farmers markets are also relatively popular. Vegetables, fruit, milk products, eggs, and meat have a very high demand. And around 50% of responses in Question 3 stated that only 10% of meat, fish, milk products, bread, honey, and jams and baked goods were bought locally. And these responses display that the current supply is not locally sourced food. It is most likely imported food in the major supermarkets. And nearly half of the respondents stated that 100% of their eggs are bought locally. But we are talking about the egg farming system. So going into Section 2, which covers the barriers of purchasing local food. So this question asks, what, if anything, stops you from buying local produce? It was a select all that apply. So the options were other, I buy local produce, availability, price, and quality. So the two largest barriers from this question were availability and price. Price received 111 responses, and availability received 176. So questions 5, 6, and 7 expand on question 4. They do a direct comparison from local food to supermarket food. So question 5 asks, how do local product prices compare to supermarket prices? And around half, or 47.9%, stated that local is more expensive. Question 6 asks, how do local products quality compare to supermarket quality? And 76.1 stated that local is higher quality. Mm-hmm. The reason I put these two together is because I believe that people are willing to pay a little bit more if the food that they're buying is a higher quality.
Yep.
So if people are saying that it's more expensive, which it is, but it's also very high quality compared to supermarket food, people will be willing to buy or spend more money on this food. So that brings us into question 7. Which I believe is the biggest barrier to local food consumption in our region, which is availability.
Hang on a second, Aiden. Councillor DeLong?
Do you mind going back one slide? Thank you so much. I'd like to make note of the fact that this is a perception that the respondents hold. I personally don't believe that locally produced food is that much more expensive when you factor in other costs as well. And I think there are statistics to back that up.
Okay, yeah, that was definitely some of the discussions we had at the pop-ups when we were asking what people thought of the prices, a lot of them also said that they didn't find too much of a difference, and that a lot of them also said that they were willing to pay a little bit more for the quality. And in our open response questions in the survey, many people stated that they didn't mind a higher price, or they didn't find that there was a higher price at all, but that the quality was definitely better, which I think is very important, is keeping that high quality.
Okay, continue.
Yep. So question 7 asks, how do local products availability compare to supermarket availability? And 70.7 responded that local is less available. And in question 4, there was an other section, and many of those responses had something to do with availability. Some stated there was low supply, local food was in less stores, farmers markets were open only once a week or at inconvenient times, and seasonal availability. So if we have high quality products and well-priced products, but no availability, even if people want to buy them and would buy them, they can't if they can't access it. So availability is definitely going to be a big focus point for increasing food consumption. So question 8 was an open response question asking, what do you see as the main barriers to local food production and consumption? And we created a word cloud, which takes all of the responses and highlights the most frequently used words. And we had price, access, availability, cost, market, convenience, farmers markets, and I think that's pretty much all of them. And some other responses that when I was reading through that stuck out to me were mentioning seasonal availability, farmers markets, hours of operation, lack of land and farmers, advertising and labeling, lack of funding for farmers, and the short growing season. So we can go into section 3, which is support and consumption levels. This question asks, during the farmers market season from May to October, approximately what percentage of your weekly household produce comes from it? And 102 respondents selected 10% or less, and 51 selected 25%. And comments from questions 7 and 8 repeatedly mentioned these farmers markets being open at inconvenient times or only once a week, which makes it difficult for people to access these. So I'm not sure how much control we have over farmers markets, but changes in operating hours and an increase in rural farmers markets are potential solutions to this problem. So this question was to see how passionate the community is about this project. I believe that any project that involves community at all is important, especially dealing with food. So this question asks, how important is it that products are local at the grocery store? And 69.9% of respondents selected that it was very important, and another 18.9% selected it was somewhat important. So this is very promising. Having the community support is important when we move forward with any changes to the system or any events that involve the community. So this question was very promising. Question 11 asks, what are the main reasons why you would choose to buy local foods? It was a select all that apply question. Options were other, I do not care about buying local, to support environmental sustainability, local foods are more nutritional, local foods are safer, local foods have a lower cost, higher quality, and to support farmers and businesses. Mm-hmm. So the three most selected responses in this question were to support local farmers and businesses, to support environmental sustainability, and the higher quality. So understanding why the community is passionate about these projects is important, and I think this question displays why people would choose to buy local food over imported food. So those are going to be important areas when we're making any statements or writing any reports, focusing on these areas and showing the community that we are listening to what they are passionate about will be very important. So question 12 is, thinking of a typical week, how many of your meals include local foods? So the responses averaged under 50% of meals containing local food. The 5 to 9, so the options were 0 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, and 15 plus. The 5 to 9 option received 90 responses, and the 0 to 4 received 74. So using the averages of all the responses, I counted them all as their highest value, and then all of them as their lowest value, and then found the average between those. And it's estimated that 8 out of 21, or 39%, of meals a week contain local food. And this doesn't mean that they have a whole plate of food that's local. It could have, their carrots could be local. So it's not saying that 39% of local food is being, or all food, 39% of it is being local. It's kind of just saying that in a meal, there's a 39% chance that there's going to be local food in that, which is good, but there's definitely room for improvement. And when we do follow-up surveys or any future testing, we'll be able to see if there's an improvement in this number. So that's it for the resident survey, and we can go into the business survey. Was there any more questions about the resident survey?
Oh, Councillor Vino.
Thank you. Did any part of the on the resident survey side address people who buy local but in a grocery store? For instance, I only buy strawberries that are local, but sometimes in a grocery store you'll see local strawberries. Was there ever that crossover or any questions about that came up?
Definitely one of the questions. I'm not sure if people talk too much about finding them in local grocery stores or local food in grocery stores, but people definitely mentioned they had difficulty knowing what was local, and labeling was brought up a lot, like knowing what's local and what's not. I think it's, even for me, when I look at food, I don't know where it's really from. So I think people definitely mentioned that at the pop-ups. They had difficulty knowing if the food they were buying in grocery stores was local or not local. So I think labeling and having some way of knowing that you're buying local in grocery stores might be important, because then if people are interested in it, they're still going to the grocery stores because that's where they always shop. But if we're labeling it so they know what they're buying is local, then they'll be able to choose that product to buy. So, yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
So the business survey only had 8 responses, and the questions were similar to the resident survey, but the data was kind of bad because there was only 8. So we decided not to do a normal report on it where we had all the graphs and stuff. We did more of a summary of the responses and highlighted some of the most common themes. So one question in the business survey asked, what type of business do you operate? And responses included retail, hospitality, farmers market, farm market, farms, orchards, and food processing businesses. And some major themes of the responses include supporting local farmers and businesses, increasing local food production, lack of availability of local products, reducing dependency on imported food, and providing access to nutritious food options.
Councillor DeLong.
Thank you very much. In the continuation of this food security project, there will be answers sought from local businesses, right? Like, we're not just going to put out a survey and hope that people respond.
Yeah, so I think the way that we contact the businesses, we found a list of businesses and found which ones were dealing with food and then sent an email to them, like a mass email with the survey, which definitely wasn't the right, well, it shows because there was only 8 responses, but it definitely wasn't the right way to go. And in phase 2 of this project, which I think is starting today or very soon, our next step is actually going to businesses, going to farms in person and having discussions with them. And I think there's also possibilities of having workshops and events with businesses where we can discuss. Because I think with residents, we can give information. But I think in the field of local food security, a business would probably know more than what I would know about local food. So I think instead of giving them information and giving them surveys, having discussions with them and working with the businesses is definitely going to be the way to go to advance this project.
Thank you.
So another word cloud was made that just highlights some responses that were in the business survey. Some include networking, farm tours, education, events, festivals, advertisements, promotions, regulations, and I think that's all of them. Local foods in there, but that's not really. So going into the jurisdictional scan, so the scan covered other municipalities and organizations' approach to local food security projects. There are some examples from ongoing projects, some past projects, and some other organizations that are focusing on local food consumption, even though they're not they don't have their own project. They provide information on how to make a project more effective and how to increase communication and stuff like that. So the findings from the scan can be organized into three categories: community engagement, policies and bylaws, and stakeholder identification. So community engagement, of course, is very important for this project. And we need to, community engagement is definitely very important for this project. And some of the key aspects of community engagement are below. So diverse engagement methods, such as online surveys, workshops, and community events are very important. And they ensure widespread involvement, many different people involving. And getting involved is very important. Strategic collaborations, so collaborative partnerships can expand an action plan's reach and effectiveness. An example of this is Halifax's Just Food Action Plan. They distributed 500 civic dinner kits, which contain ingredients and recipes and a discussion guide to discuss local food and why local food is important. So I think that's a very good example, and that's definitely something that we could do here. Maybe not the exact same, but something like that to get the community involved. They did this through partnerships with the Halifax Public Libraries, the Family Resource Centers, and other organizations. Education is another important aspect of community engagement. The Just Food Action Plan hosted a lunch and learn session, which was hosted by the HRM and HFPA, and it showed a panel discussion with some key stakeholders and an expert keynote address from Wayne Roberts, who is an expert in local food security. So effective communication is another important aspect of local food security or any project. So FoodARC, which is a food security research organization, provides an online toolkit that displays some communication techniques for engagement. Some of these recommendations include covering topics such as the need for dialogue, the purpose of the dialogue, the guiding principles, the people involved, identifying any limitations, and having the proper format of dialogue. So all of these different methods are very important aspects of any project that involves the community. And then we can move on to our policies and bylaws. So reviewing any policies and bylaws that may hinder or deter farmers from coming here or continuing being in MODL is very important. We want to create an environment where farmers want to be and where farmers can prosper. So reviewing any policies that are affecting them negatively will be very important in increasing our local food production. So a background study done by the Municipality of West Hants highlights four areas of focus for policy and bylaw review to increase local food production. So creating food education programs in partnerships with communities and schools, reviewing and amending policies to promote small-scale local agriculture, local procurement policies, and making municipal facilities available to local food and goods vendors. And I think that there may be the building that we're building there, that would be a great example, because we're talking about having a community kitchen, I believe in that, so allowing local vendors to work there and have a farmers market there, that's going to be a great step in that direction. So,
Sorry, Councillor Stanton. Yep.
Thank you. Great presentation. Just one question. When you were doing your surveys or asking, did you have any correspondence or anybody comment about the regulations concerning local food being put in the bigger supermarkets? Like, is there regulations hindering that in any way? I know Department of Health probably says what you have to do in order to be able to put food in a public place like a supermarket. And I'm just wondering if there's any regulations that are stopping that from happening for our local producers.
So when I was having discussions, I had a discussion with one person who told me he used to have a farm, but then he closed it and is just doing a personal farm now. He said that there was just too much, red tape around his business, and that he just couldn't work around it, and that getting into the stores was extremely difficult. And in the responses, I also heard that there was a lot of drawing a blank on a word here. There was a lot of things stopping businesses from getting into those major supermarkets because they already have so many deals with the imported food. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably very hard to get into anything like a Sobeys or a Superstore, stuff like that. So, yeah, looking into that will be very important.
Oh, Councillor DeLong.
Thank you. Just jumping off Councillor Statton's point there. Yep. A lot of that difficulty that food producers have in engaging with larger food retailers, that's to a large extent internal and also profit-driven. It's supermarkets choosing things that are cheaper from further away that they have more control over. Yeah. And a lot of the food security measures are very important in terms of keeping consumers safe, but are very onerous for food producers if they don't have the resources mm-hmm. to actually engage with that.
Yeah. So that would definitely be a very good way to increase our consumption, getting mm-hmm. in those stores, but that's definitely going to be a challenge just because mm-hmm. of those existing partnerships that those stores have, and they wouldn't want to change it and spend more money on food and lose profits. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very difficult challenge. So maybe if that's not working out, focusing on local stores and farm markets and farmers markets, that might be the way to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so the purpose of this baseline assessment was more to just see where we could go, to identify any plans so that we can reach out, see what works, what doesn't, and then we can improve from there. So I don't think it won't be a very fast project. It definitely won't be, we won't have a ton of consumption a year from now, mm-hmm. but we're going to work towards it, and it's going to move on year by year, and hopefully we'll reach our goal at 2030. So going into stakeholder identification. So a big part of phase two of our project is going to be identifying stakeholders in our region, identifying important stakeholders and engaging with them and seeing what we can do to help them and if they can give us any information that we could use to improve production. So Calgary Eats, which is a local food security project based out of Calgary, a section of their action plan highlights important types of stakeholders, and those stakeholders include the market food sector, the institutional food service sector, the community food sector, the charitable food sector, and the government sector. So all of these different types of stakeholders have their own roles in our food system, and they're all very important. Engaging with them will be very important in the future. So the Journal of Hunger and Environmental Nutrition completed a study on structural constraints and enablers to community food security in Nova Scotia. And this study highlights some current issues that stakeholders may be facing in our region. They might not be, they might be. So these are some potential questions that we could ask them if they're dealing with these issues, and then we could figure out ways to help them out. So one of them is farmers encountering a challenge with production cost and depressed market prices. The fishing industry is being exposed to the repercussions of a globalized food system. And the smaller businesses in Nova Scotia are pretty much battling with the major supermarkets that have total control pretty much over all food distribution mm-hmm. in Nova Scotia. So these are three, they're broad problems that they might be facing, but they're definitely areas that we could ask them if they're dealing with this and if there's any way that we can help them just for future actions. So then I think this goes into the recommendations. So increasing the availability of farmers markets, maybe getting more farmers markets or better hours or more hours, that might help out with increasing production and consumption. We discussed the ag farming system. For engagement, having community-hosted workshops, educational events, distributing veggie seeds, garden packs, or anything that involves gardening, because that would get the residents interested in it, and it might just be like a fun way to get the community involved. Having a strong social media presence that provides updates and information, looking into this distribution of the civic dinner kits that Just Food did in Halifax, and having partnerships with local and provincial organizations will also be very important.
Oh, Councillor Oigle.
I also think in your recommendation, something that Councillor DeLaw mentioned regarding the company that her family is with is having recognition in the community, right? And I think that helping our farmers become recognized and respected in the community will also help people to want to buy their product.
Yeah,
as
definitely.
Well,
yeah.
Right? And I think having that under the recommendation to encourage and to help them to gain that would be something that we could do.
Yeah, for sure. I think in the business survey, some of the responses, some of them mentioned having farm-related events, like a farm tour or a farm festival. Something like that would be very good. It would engage the community and the farmers, and it would make that connection that's very important. So I think that would definitely be something to look into in the future. Thank you. Other questions? So just reviewing for the policies and bylaws, reviewing those four areas that were previously mentioned will be very, very important. And then stakeholder identification, which is where we're going into next in this project. And I outlined three major food stakeholders that we should be focusing on. Those are the market food sector, farms, and the institutional food service sector. So they all hold different roles. So farms, we want to help them produce the most and distribute the most. An institutional food service sector like a hospital or the nursing, I think it's a long-term care facility being built right next to us here. So getting in there, if we can find a way, maybe not that one, but any, to have a local supplier for their food, that'd be a very good way to get that food out there, and that would increase the consumption of that food and most likely the production, because if they're asking for more food, if the farmers can make it, then that's perfect. And then the market food sector, of course, the local stores, the farmers markets, the maybe this major supermarkets, discussions with the ability to increase their local food sales, increase how much local food they're buying from people and how much they're giving out. So those three sectors are going to be very important in our future plans, and that's where we're going to next in phase two of this project. So I think that's all for today. Thank you. Oh, one question. I'll go back.
Good job, Aiden. Councillor Stanton.
Great job. The only thing I didn't see in this was community gardens. And I think we have, as you mentioned, a major complex going up next door that is a perfect opportunity to have some community gardens in the area or in different communities out along around the municipality that people could make their own little garden, get some fresh produce, and help them out in that way. And I don't see anything about that in your survey or in your recommendations. So I'm just wondering if that's something that maybe could be considered.
Yeah, so that's definitely something that I probably should have looked into. I probably missed that. But yeah, when you mean community gardens, or is it gardens? Community gardens. So having those gardens, yeah, that's one of our longer-term goals in the plan. It's not something that I was focusing on right now, but definitely having those community food hubs and those community gardens are two ways. The food hubs will be distributing the food, and the community gardens will be producing the food. So in an ideal world, we could have a garden that's making all of this produce that's going straight to our food hub, and then we have a way of producing the food and a way of distributing it. So, yeah, those will definitely go hand in hand.
I was thinking more along the lines of a personal community garden, like just a small plot of land that maybe a tenant could have access to, that they could grow their own tomatoes, carrots, whatever they eat a lot of or want in the summertime, something along that line, as opposed to maybe a bigger commercial entity.
That's definitely a good idea. Yeah.
Okay, so Abby, would you like to speak?
I just wanted to add, I think, to Aiden's comments. I think this is also something we will look into the phase two of the project, as phase one was mostly focused on the demand side. So it was primarily to understand what the demand is. But when we will move on to the phase two, that is when we will focus on the producers. So who are producing it and what are the challenges they're facing in the food that they're producing? And at that point, I think the recommendations of the garden would come into play.
Perfect. Okay. Any more questions? No? Thank you, Aiden.
Thank you.
Good
Thank
presentation.
Thank you all for listening.
Okay. Now, yeah, I guess we're going to maybe, does anybody need a little break before we go in camera?
2 minutes, maybe.
2 minute break, then we're going in camera.
Okay, make it five.
Make it five.